Support for WILL is provided in part by Risk Management Commodities, presenting an agricultural outlook meeting on Saturday, January 27th from 9 a.m. to noon at the Holiday Inn in Terre Haute, Indiana. Lunch will be provided. More information is available at 866-837-9027.
This is AM 580, and it's time now for us to find out what's happening on the Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange. With our opening report, here's Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Friday morning, everyone. Let's check how prices fared in the resumption of trading. We gave the overnight opens at 8:49 Central Time. In Kansas City, March wheat opened at 492.5, down 1.5 on the open. May, $5.5, down 1.5. At the Chicago Board of Trade, March wheat opened at 469, unchanged on the open. May, 472, down 9.5. July, 490, down 0.5. December, 10.5, down 0.5 on the open. March corn opened at 408, up 1 on the open. May, 419, up 1. July, 424.5, up 0.5. September, 407, down 1. December, 399.5, unchanged. March, 404, down 1. May, 406.5, unchanged. July, 411, down 2.5 on the open. March beans open at 716, up 2.5 on the open. May, 730.5, up 2. July, 744, up 2. August, 747.5, down 0.5. November, 767, up 1.5. January, 770.5, down 1 on the open. March soybean meal open at 208.50, up 30 on the open. May, 212.80, up 40. March soybean oil opened at 28.97, up 5 on the open. May, 29.35, down 4. At the Merck, March feeders open at 94.35, up 5 on the open. April, 96, up 5. May, 96.90, down 12.5. August, 99.30, down 15 on the open. February live cattle opened at 89.80, down 32.5 on the open. April, 92.70, down 27.5. June, 89.20, down 22.5 on the open. February lean hogs opened at 63.75, up 40 on the open. April, 67.55, up 5. May, 74.50, down 20. June, 76.60, down 5 on the open. And February pork bellies opened at 98.10, unchanged on the open.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Chuck.
Morning, Dave.
What do you make of the farm futures estimates from their producers in the survey that they took from January 5th to January 21 on corn and beans?
Well, another guess there, an error on the upper end. We also saw the Congressional Budget Office, or formerly the Office of Management and Budget, come in with a much lower number at 86.5 and a much lower carryover. So, again, that process of trying to figure out exactly what's going to go in the ground will probably continue, and boy, that March report looms is a huge one.
What would have happened if the farm futures numbers were the March report?
That's the exciting part, and that's the second guess, and I think the important thing, too, we've talked about at some of the meetings we've done with you, Dave, is exactly where are we going to get those acres from? You could probably push the acres, but are they coming from Texas? And Texas has one of the bigger CRP acreage is coming out, I read, next year. So, it's certainly going to enter into the average yield, too.
All right, let's look at the particulars. This week, Chuck, has been a market that's really been choppy. And with not a lot of fundamentals for people to chew on, the technicians have been cutting the market up pretty good. It looks like early in the week bear spreading was a feature. Yesterday, it might have been bull spreading. It looks like traders are trying to make their money just kind of putting one contract against the other at the moment.
Yeah, yesterday we saw some rumors that China may be wavering on some of their old crop sales. We saw them do that before, and then they pulled bushels out of the reserve. So that got the bull spread going again. And I think, you know, the traders, the big folks we talked to in Chicago, Dave, I mean, they just really, you know, hesitate to aggressively sell this market, but you can get those intraday, you know, down days. And when you look at the exports remaining pretty strong, I think the underlying support is with any little news like China or any good exports, then we get those up days. And looks like the market may be kind of consolidating here to make another leg higher.
It's been about, a week or more of consolidation. And what kind of prices to the upside do you think are the overhead resistance to push through that would indicate to you that the market really wants to push up into the 420 to 430 area?
Well, using the May contract kind of a guide we're watching at, 419 and three quarters is a technical area that we've, you know, talked to the guys in Chicago, and seems to be a point that we get above there that would open us up for another leg higher.
May 419 to 420?
Correct.
What about the soybeans?
Soybeans continue to amaze a lot of folks here. You know, they're actually showing some strength coming back now. And when we look down the road, we say, gosh, they got big supplies. But I go back to this OMB report here. Amazing on the bean side of it. They dropped the acreage down to 68.8 with a 42 yield, and they come up with a carryover around 300 million. So, gosh, if that happens, and, you know, we've talked about, again, that big corn acres might mean a lower bean number. We could sit around a year from now and sit here and talk about, gosh, the bean carryover is extremely tight, too.
And the farm futures number, just a little bit bigger than the Congressional Budget Office number at 69.5 million acres this spring. And, of course, we saw 75.5 million in 2006. The interesting feature, I guess, out of the farm futures survey that I saw is the willingness of producers to really to play this out, to see how the market fares fairly late in the spring, and a significant number, as high as 40%, according to the survey, saying they would make late decisions and would plant more corn acres if December futures hit 450.
Yeah, and I think that's a key here that everybody is, you know, at this point we're pretty flexible as farmers, and, you know, certainly our equipment allows us to do that. And the other part of it, I think, that we got to, you know, recognize, though, too, is certainly the cost of our nitrogen and those extra input costs. If we make that change later on, I think that's the reason, you know, I kind of don't feel the corn acres are going to shoot way up there to 88 at this point in time, because we talked to a lot of guys who haven't gone out there and bought that extra nitrogen that they're going to need, and I think those extra acres are going to incur higher costs, because obviously if we go after more nitrogen that's not booked, they're going to charge us more for that, Dave.
Certainly more in the spring than now, even though we did see that some of the input costs to make the anhydrous over the last 5 to 6 months have been lower.
Right, and there's a lot of more urea coming into this country than there used to be. So we're finding ways to meet the need. It's just, again, I think there is a trigger point up there where, yeah, I will definitely make the switch. I just think guys are kind of on a fishing expedition to see if we can get to that price that really makes us do that switch.
Turn your attention to wheat, and let me ask you this. Where do cash prices have to fall, in your opinion, before it becomes a feed grain?
We're watching it. I think you're going to have to see the spread widen out some more. I think the wheat, we're seeing that in the basis in the soft red, but I think you probably need to see the corn either increase about 50 cents or the wheat drop 50 cents before we see guys that really seriously change their rations. It's kind of a practicality issue, again, of, you know, if you're feeding one type of grain, to make the switch to another type, you really need to be committed, because livestock really, when you switch rations, you really want to be committed for the long haul, not just do it week by week on a ration change.
All right. What you had an interesting meeting last week in one of your annual meetings. You have another one scheduled for tomorrow. At the first annual meeting, what were some of the features that you heard from the traders in Chicago regarding, well, whatever subject that you found interesting?
They're watching. You know, certainly we've seen this side-by-side trade here. The electronic trade we saw on limit up days, Dave, was really out of whack and kind of stopped trading. They're really concerned up there in Chicago that gets fixed, because we're going to be in line for more volatile markets over the next few months. So that was a concern. that they had, and they also wanted farmers to be aware that you know, when we're placing orders in these markets here, the thing you see on your screen may be a little bit different than electronic, and we want to be careful in placing orders when we buy options or sell futures and put some price orders in, not just market orders.
Thank you very much, Chuck. Have a great day.
Thank you, Dave.
Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities. He is in Lafayette, Indiana.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Let's look at the current tick in Kansas City. March wheat, 489, down 5. At the Board of Trade, March wheat, 466.5, down 2.25. May, 478.5, down 2.75. March corn, 405, down 2. May, 416.5, down 1.5. July, 422.5, down 1.5. September, 406.5, down 1.25. December, 398.5, down 3/4. March beans at 713.25, unchanged. You're listening to WILL Urbana.